The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ through His minister, Reverend Busuyi Olabode. We believe you'll be richly blessed.
God bless you. Amen. So in the past, like 2 months now, what Evan has emphasized to us, simply said, is that we need a good foundation for the hope of eternal life. If it's not going to be an essay, it's going to be a promise that will be experienced by man on the earth. Because there's only one thing really that is called the promise, which He has promised us. I know we have a lot of promises we stand on scriptures. Scriptures that Scripture has spoken about us, we should believe, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. Say amen. But those things that God called promises in the New Testament are things that has to connect to the promise. Anytime you hear promises or promise in the New Testament, it has to do with things that has to do with the promise. So you have the promises that lead to the promise. But there's only one thing God is doing in the New Testament. There's only one reason why He sent Jesus. It's to express His highest love. For God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave us His only begotten Son. His only begotten Son. That whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God's interest, God's commitment for us, for those who are His children, is not the present. And that's why you're going to see it all in the scriptures. And that's why you're going to see a place like, cast your care upon Him for He cares. Cast all your cares upon Him for He careth. Now, why would that scripture be there? Cast all your cares upon Him for He careth. Because of the experiences you can come into in the New Testament that may look as if God does not care. We are going to keep on reiterating that, but that's a strength to go through adversity, to go through the prayer of Satan. You can be anywhere in Nigeria today. Maybe you're in the northeast or northwest. It may not look like a good day. I went in the house to get that place. It may not look like a good day. But we have to understand the time that we're in. Like I was also explaining during the preacher's crew. How you could see a lot of miracles in the book of Acts. Astounding miracle. Notable miracles in the book of Acts. And you get the book, you get the epistle. We keep on praying and ask for mercy that someone like Epaphroditus will not die. These are the same people who raised the dead in the Acts of the Apostle. So if somebody died, it was not a problem to them in that place. Dorcas died. And Peter happened to be in them at that time, around that time. And they told Peter about it. And Peter just prayed and turned to Tabitha. Dorcas. And she was raised. Eutychus fell, and Paul just laid on him and came back to life. So at that time of the beginning of the church, hazards was not a problem. If it happens, something will happen. Say amen. So you can understand why they didn't want Jesus to go away. But while it was an earth year, their life was secured. You still remember Peter took step into the water, he was sinking in the sea. You know how fast somebody can sink in the sea? And Jesus stretched forth his hand and took it back. That is not, when he says sink, you can't sink and be waving your hand. He has gone down the water. Just like the harsh head of Elisha floated. Peter actually floated. Came back from the sinking and the Lord. So for Jesus to be going the way it was to them too hazardous. And they were not going to accept any alternative. In the natural, it was more securing for them. Say amen. It was more securing for them. That's why I said, as long as the bridegroom is around, you don't need to fast. So they don't fast. They don't. As long as Jesus was physically around, they don't need anything. But the days were coming when the bridegroom will be taken from them. And it is better that the bridegroom was taken from them because of what was the reason for Jesus coming to them. I went to the house, please. Jesus did not come primarily, first of all, to save the body. He came to save the spirit. Then save the soul. Then a last order of people that will experience redemption of the body. Are you with me in the house, please? Say amen. Now that is why he came. So why you can see those things beginning in Acts of the Apostles, they were being done for reasons, for faith. So a time came in the epistles when the letters of transformation began to come to change man's nature. All of that miraculous, whatever there was, torn down. It was totally gone, but was reduced so that their eyes can see the promise. Because the eyes were seeing Jesus physically at the time he was on earth. They didn't want him to go. They took him from them. Even after resurrection, the wind took him up. He ascended. They were looking at him until he was released to the clouds. They had no power to hold him back. I went in the house there, please. So it's clear that the promise of life has to do with the order that God has ordered it to come from the spirit. Like we said today, it was the spirit that first died, then the soul. So if God is going to also revive it back, it will start from the spirit that first died, then the soul, then the body. So we cannot use body experience to measure out how much salvation we have. What did I say? So it came to a time when the external experience of the apostles, these things was bad. But so bad. It was so bad that even in church, believers started dying without really being raised back to the dead. So you're going to look like, I see the power has left us. No, the power has left. Seasons has changed. When God had to shift people's eye from what is seen to the unseen world. But the real place of the blessing of the gospel is in the unseen world. Because the seen world, whether you like it or not, you're going to live here. You're going to live this. We're going to live this unseen world, this seen world. And every time when you're having your birthday, remember that you are a year closer. I saw my pictures from days ago. I can't believe myself. I'm not looking like it. Bless God for some people who have baby face, whose face can remain the same for a long time. My wife's face can remain for a long time, but even the face has changed. She has morphed. So almost all have baby face. It just looks like Pastor James. It doesn't matter your baby face. Something is counting inside of you. When they check your mitochondria, it's telling you it's changing. It's counting age. So the fact that you are aging tells you that the body is going. It's not the day body, somebody dies. I would say he has been dying. So there's nothing for now to celebrate about the body or the physical world. We will do our best there. We'll contribute our best there. But that's not our world. I said that's not our world. And you better believe it. But if you don't believe it, you won't see the invisible. You won't see the invisible. So Peter has to write that place. Casting all your cares upon him is still cares. He cares for you. He really cares. But you don't understand now how he cares. If you don't know that, the devil can take advantage of you. Can make you feel that God is no more real. God is no more true. God is no more this and that one. No. It's just a season of your life. They want to come and see the one who called you. They want to come and see the invisible. They want to see heaven before you leave this body. Say amen. They want to see the glory of God. Just said, have I not spoken to that? But if thou shouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see. That's the reason why you believed, if thou wouldest believe. The reason why you believe is to see the glory of God. And I believe that I might see the goodness of God in the land of the living. All those things are prophetic things. It is the land of the living. No, it's the land of the dead. It's the land of the dead. In the land of the living. I went in the house there, please. So promises, I was just saying that promises in the scriptures in the New Testament need to change them from promises in the Old Testament. That's why it says in the book of that 2 Corinthians 6, let's see that place. 7:1. Having therefore these promises, are you there with me, please? Shout amen. Having therefore these promises, I'm just reminding us of the season we are in, so we can break bread together, agree together, and have the portion of life in that area for our journey, okay? That we can journey through the month of June fairly well, and that will have been the half of the year. And I believe that in the remaining part of this year, there are great things that will still be achieved. I've told us that we trust God, and our desires will come to pass. Because they will be in line with God's will in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In the fear of God. Because the promise is spiritual. So, the promise is spiritual. So, the promises also are spiritual promises that are meant to get us into the promise. That's why in Him, all the promises of God in Him are yea. In Him, amen. For all the promises of God. So, these are the promises of our transformation. Like we're saying this morning, from flesh to spirit. From flesh to spirit. From spirit to quickening spirit. It's talking about our journey. So the reason why you are on earth is that you must not go back to heaven without being a quickening spirit. You must have become a quickening spirit. So all the promises has to do with the journey of our transformation. how to journey back to God. Because if any soul does not end up in God, that soul may have portion in hell. The only assurance of a soul is to the extent he journey back to God. We can't guarantee people say, how do you know who go to hell? We don't know them. But we know that if you're not with God, you are away from God. Say, amen. Are you with me in the house here? So God expects that holiness will be perfecting holiness. So God expects changes to happen to us from time to time. So our time, actually our time is the space that is bought for changes. And like I was saying during the video, as out of the same time also, you have no excuse for failure on the earth here. Can you see that same thing? Are we in the house here? Out of the same time, you have no excuse for failure on the earth here. You have no failure, you have no excuse of being trying on the earth here. The time is given to us for everything to be perfect. Because he made all things beautiful in his times. Not some things. He made all, how many things? Everything. He has made everything. God has made everything beautiful. You do hear me? What I say? God has made everything beautiful in his time. In his own time. In God's own time. So in your own time also, it's your duty to make all things beautiful. So the gospel is to grant you wisdom to make all things beautiful. Redeeming the time. Because the days are evil. And so God is going to teach us and help us the further in the months of ahead of this year to be wise with our timing. Yeah, God is going to help you. Get to help me. But above all, why we see the order is spiritual first. It means that if you don't get the earthward dimension very well, we can't be too sure of the heavenly. Because if you don't know how to love the man you see, I can say I love God, which I don't see. So it means that in our redemption program, they start from the natural back. Though we are going to divine, are we in the house, please? They didn't start from divine, they start from natural. So it means that in our natural, our journey through the natural back, where they are to lay the foundation for the what to come. If our redemption there is not established, they can't guarantee that redemption of our soul can be completed. That's why they always make natural first, then spiritual. Yeah, I'll be here. That was not first, which is spiritual, but that which is natural for afterward spiritual. So you can see that. So in learning, for example, in learning charity, you can see how much it proliferates itself into our natural world. How to use spiritual wisdom to reclaim or redefine natural. You're learning spiritual law now, and the spiritual law is to make ensure that the natural that has gone bad must come back right. Say amen. So it means that if you are a child of faith, a child of Christ, you should be better in your studies. Not because you have read more, because now you now know how to appropriate time in the spirit. Can you see that? So it means that if you are learning Christ and you are not doing your studies, we will ask what is going wrong somewhere there. Because learning Christ means that you now know how to apportion your time. Those things that waste time are no more there. Those foolish jests are no more there. Are we in the house, please? Though you come to church, you give 2 hours to church, 3 hours to church. But before now, you have been giving more than 3 hours to other things. Way more than that, without knowing. That's why people say, but you go to church. Maybe, no, church cannot take your time more than the way sin was taking your time before. Sin took most of our time before now. That's why most of the time when people get born again, they seem to do better in the academics. Though they are not spiritually engaged, it's because redemption has come into their time. And so they don't know how to spend their time better. Say amen. Because of the spirit life that is being restored. I'm just trying to say to us that God's interest to us is that change is must, a must. Say amen. So, where we read there, if you go back, you'll see all the promises already made. I've been there for these promises. They are promises of our transformation. How does it mean? Where does it start from? Let's see from verse 15. And what conquered at Christ with Belial? What part are he that believed with an infidel? And what agreement at the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. That's a promise. Huh? To be a temple of the living God is a promise. You're supposed to be a temple of the living God. Like you're a temple of the Holy Ghost. You're supposed to break agreement with idols. Say amen. You're supposed to break agreement with the law of Christ. And so you are no more unequally yoked with unbelievers. Say amen. These are works, they are promises. And I will dwell in them. It's a promise. And I will walk in them. I will be their God. And they shall be my people. It's a promise. These are promises. But in the natural world, it does not look like this. What will I use this one for? This is for your heavenly journey. And they are more sure than promises for earthly gain. So even when the promise of earthly gain is not coming, these are sure. Why? They are the reason for sending the Son. And they are bounded by oath. God is totally committed to say that anybody who believes in me will turn back to me. Because man is destined to journey back to God. Say amen. Are we in the house, please? So this past 2 months, one thing that has happened to us is that God has made us see the reason for the foundation, that foundation of reconciliation, where we are no more unequally yoked with unbelievers. Where a life of believer is so straight. If you are a believer, your life should be distinct. It should be distinct. Without saying I'm a believer, the fruit of your life should show that this is a believer. You remember in the book of Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, be an example of the believer. So the first thing God is asking you to do is not asking for too much. Just be a model believer. Then watch my knee will say, be a normal Christian or the normal Christian life. It's when you start reading and say, I'm going to say, is this a normal Christian life? It didn't say live a spiritual Christian life. The normal Christian life. The normal Christian life is to make believers' life distinctly separate from the life of unbelievers. And you call that separation. Be ye separate. That is where the problem lies. Let no man despise thy youth. Be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. The whole of the doctrine is around this. That will make you and I an example or a pattern believer. Or a believer that can be estrayed and be studied. And when a model, when I see him, that's Christ. Like Paul said, be followers of me as I am of Christ. Be followers of God as their children. So if you follow me, you follow Christ. If you follow Christ, you follow God. So Christ is the model. Say amen. So Paul says also, I want to be a model. So follow me. When you find me, you will find Christ. When you get to Christ, you just feel that there's no much difference. Then from Christ, you can join back to us. Be therefore followers of God as their children. As their children. As children who have given their allegiance, are we in the house here? To go with God. To go with God is to inherit eternal life. To go with God is for the end of the reason of faith. Praise the Lord. We're in the house together. So God is not asking for too much to start with. It is believer that God, that the Father is coming for. But it's not believer like you know it. It's believers who have been purified in words, in spirit, in conversation, in faith, in charity. So what we have found is that you can't get this without a learning. You can't get it by wishing. You can't get it by just being the Holy Ghost. They must have taught you, because this is another way from the flesh. Another way from what the world know as what a man should look like. Are we in the house together? So let's go to that 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 13. Okay, let me start from verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into diverse temptation and snare, and into many foolish and artful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. Are you there? Which wives some coveted after, they have erred from the faith. So it means that those who are going for the faith as a way of journey, right? They can't just journey like every other man journey. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. What is that? Flee with the sense of primary pursuit. Where your primary is pursuit. If you are going to go for the promise of life, it must become your primary pursuit. If other things are not your primary pursuit, you won't get it. So it means that you are going to get a point when you're going to, beyond being in church, you're going to arrive at a junction of your journey to God and find out, what do I want first? If it is this person what you want first, what is telling you is that they will have damaged your soul to a point that you won't have interest on going on this journey. But if you decide to follow this other path, we will have done something for yourself. You will get a foundation that will be difficult for the enemy to take you away from. Because the reason why we are easily sleep is that we have a very sleeky foundation. And Jesus gave it like he gave the parable, the story of the man who built his house upon the sand, right? Now this wind came, the wind blew, and the house was brought down because it was built on a sand. So the present earth is like sand. It's easy for men to sleep there. So when you are founded there, what it says is that you won't have interest. The world has a way of dulling your taste for God. Sometimes we say, why do we preach these things to young people? Why should we preach to those old people? When you are old, your life is finished. Now, you know that by reason of old age, some things you will come to know. Now, when you are 80 years, you know that this world is vanity. Nobody will preach to you on your seat. Meanwhile, you have used your life to pursue Hassan. You have wasted the day because time is for journey. Now that you found it by age, it's no more by faith. It's not adding anything to your growth in life. Many things we preach in this gospel, you will know it yourself. It's only time. For now we say it by yourself. On your own seat. That man who is sitting on that seat at 80 is a sign that all of us will arrive there. It's representing you. That's why sometimes go and visit those people. So that this gospel can make sense to you. Say, hey man. You know it's vanity. You know that this day, oh my God. That room. Hey, yeah. Taddy never slept there. I built that one for Taddy. Don't my show. When Lagos over the weekend, Amelie was sharing a story of the mother. When they were young, there's a family we were very close to. Very rich, very, very rich family, very rich. And when you talk about that man in that city, very rich. And mother was close to the family. So she had a dream of living the older part of her life around the family because they are very, very close. So she tried early in life to buy a plot of land close to their house there so that when they are growing together, that love will just be flowing through life. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we look at 20 years if it's a long time. 20 years is tomorrow. I'm telling you, 20 years is tomorrow. So, the first part of her life, she rushed that house to be built. She got married and married to somebody who is not staying there, coming to her to this side. She had in mind that maybe some holidays, you take the children, go and enjoy there. The man died. You know, some years, the wife died. Already has finished. So the whole purpose for building a whole house, so she had to get, what would you do with it? She had to get tenants into the house. You know, tenant in a house where you don't live. When she got there and see the way the house has been used, they are the one helping the house. If they are not living there, the house will collapse. When she got there, the house of the other rich man, as these are trees that started growing inside it. Trees that started growing inside the house. So when the tenants there were not paying money, all of that, he has to charge them to cut. He has to be living on the Toshobo. Toshobo is where the cut is. One of the days she was going, she nearly had an accident. She told herself, upon what? So the purpose has been shifted. Purpose was to spend some part of one's life with a family you enjoy. The thing has shifted. Shifted to not defending a house that was never part of his thought at all before. He just told herself, before I die here, anybody wants to buy a house, come and buy. I'm just trying to say that many of the things that looks to us as dreams, just don't find that it never be. And sometimes you build your house, you build a court, maybe the backyard, you set up chairs there, where you, in the evening you just recline, fresh air. You're going to go for 5 years, you have not sat there once. So what I'm saying to us is this one. That life itself, which is present, is like a vapor. It appears, it disappears. Appears, disappear. Actually, it's going to disappear to oblivion very soon. So dreams comes, dreams goes. Dreams comes, dream goes. And all those come and go is sapping strength. Yeah. So, what he's saying to us is this. The message of time life is to reposition us to put the end to be the beginning. And now to allow the course of earth here to follow its own pace. So that at the end of the day, life would not have been a waste. Then life really make meaning. I like that song. Life just got interesting. This just came to me. I can't look you from that song. To me, it's an epic song. Life just got interesting. Since Jesus came, he came to define how life should be lived. So that life will not be a regret. The few years I've lived on earth here, I just find out that life can be interesting. Very interesting. And life can be very burdensome. Because all you need have been planned by God around your journey in life. What did I say? So the ones in our pursuit that is not part of it, we fly off. The same way it's flying off, don't hold it. Let it go. The one that is necessary there, we align by itself and form a fulcrum for life to roll. Because sun does not stay by strength. It's sustained by itself. Life is supposed to be what roll by itself without human strength and labor, which is called toil. Say, hey, man. So now, Paul in his teaching was given to me 20 commandments on what you should limit. And that's what we're doing these two months. To limit in them a fulcrum for life to roll. And that is why we have gone through teaching of charity. Are you in the house there, please? So let's see that place. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness. Are you there? Godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And to him, that is the faith. That's why he said in verse 12, fight the good fight of faith. What does it mean? Fight to pursue this. Aha. Because the present system will not want to allow you to go and make it a pursuit. Sometimes people think, maybe we know how to do it. I say, I don't know how to do it. Yes. The one thing I know is that I have the one who knows how to do it. And I stay with him. I'm on of any manner. I don't know how to do it, but I know the one who knows how to do it. And when I stay with him, he teaches on how to do it. In fact, he opens up how to do it. Sometimes he even goes ahead and do it himself. So the fight is how you will stay with that course. Because righteousness is a course. It's a program. Are we in the house, please? Like somebody is asking today, how do I know to hear God? Pursuing how to hear God is a course. And all they have said this morning, putting yourself to want to know it and exercise yourself in it is a course. Godliness is a course. Faith is a course. Love is a course. This love, yes, is brotherly love. Patience is a course. Meekness is a course that you have to learn and learn how to be meek. It's not easy. To be meek and not be noisy is not easy. And every person is made to be noisy in the mind. You are quiet in the face, but your mind is noisy. There's no way they do it. That's okay for you. But where you are now? What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Your mind is on. You don't stay at peace. And that's how our mind. So you are not, when you are like that, you are not teachable. You can't teach him. Don't say so. And that's how all of us are. It's not just to teach us the way of righteousness. It takes a measure of help of God learning righteousness to start teaching us that, and not to be quiet. Because every one of us think we know what we need. If I give you a paper today, what do you need? It will fill the paper. And many of those things we say there are the noise of our soul. Aspirations, thoughts. Say amen. So you can't be meek and say you are taught. And being meek is a platform for another teaching. It means it is only the meek. It will guide in this way. But you can't be meek until you also learn. Say, learn of me, I am meek. So you learn to be meek. When you are meek, they will also guide you the way. So there are things you must arrive at first. But they can say, now let's begin the journey. Say, hey, man. So a soul can be meek. You can't be a charity and not be meek. It's important. If you are not meek, then you are not there. So, all of these things, Paul gave it to Timothy as commandment of the focus of what you are. If you are learning the gospel and the gospel is not working this in your life, then you're not hearing the gospel. Let me say it again. If you're learning the gospel and you're not seeing these fruits in your life, then you're not learning the gospel. Gospel is to make you learn righteousness, to make you learn godliness. How do you know a soul is godly? It's always godly when the soul is being taken away from worldly lust. That's not what it says in Titus. teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. We should live what? Soberly, righteously, and godly in the spirit. So a godly man is a man who has been saved from his worldly lust. Worldly lust is not like not doing, not having something good. It's being driven by the, how will I call it now? Well, you're driven by the passion of this world. Passion. Or fashion of this world. Teaching us that deny ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. Are you there with me? What's the next one? Righteously and godly in this present world. So a man who is in godliness is a man who is temperate with the present world. It's not a gra man for this world. You can be quiet on the face and you are gra for this world in your soul. So it's not posture, it's inner craving. It's inner craving. The world would have been empty without anything. But somebody came in and anointed everything we have on this world and put desire on it. Things that were there before, just for use, he will put desire. He will just put attraction. He will put pull on it. So the pull becomes the bait of man. Say, hey, man. Shout hallelujah. That's why you wear clothes, people say it's fine on you. But your heart is not fine. Say, man, I like this your clothes. Each time you say, it means you didn't know. And when you don't know, then you are going for something else. I went in the house, please. What's the next thing there? Patience. Nobody's born with patience. We're all born with impatience. Then meekness. Now that is what the faith delivers. So I say, fight the good fight of faith. This is what faith delivers. If you have the faith, then it must have this fruit. Lay hold on what? So it means that if a man does not fight for this, he can't lay hold on eternal life. You cannot. You can't be positioned for it. You don't have this. What does it mean? All this is what's called foundation. I want to get a place in that place. When you say foundation, it's the foundation for a man who is journeying far. A man who they cannot just come overnight and remove his feet. Not trouble, not even persecution, not even the present world can remove this man's feet. It's because he's stable. It's such a man that can wait for promise. Say, hey, man. So can you see there? I give the charge instead of, so it's charging him on commandment. Who quickened all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment. So it's commandment of the faith, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you there with me, please? Which in his time he shall shew who is the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, and who again? Who only has immortality dwelling in the light, which no man can approach unto, whom no man hath seen or can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. What do we say together? Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded. So you can see that it's on the same, line of saying, some things can give you a wrong perception of your journey in life. So if you don't make faith pursuit a journey early, Some of these things will give you a wrong perception. You can have age, for example. I think by your age, you are wiser than man, other men. But even by your age, if you seem to have natural wisdom than others, you don't have spiritual wisdom. I went in the house, please. But there's a difference between natural wisdom and spiritual wisdom. A man of natural age can utter some few wisdom, but not redemptive wisdom. Even the man at 80 is saying, oh, everything is vanity. He doesn't know what can save you. Because what will save you is not just everything is vanity. There's a message of faith that if you preach to him at that point, he will still accept it. He will still believe it. He's making conclusion, but he doesn't know the journey to that conclusion. I went to the house together, please. Where I'm going is verse 17 and 19. Charge them that are rich in this world. So when it means that it was declaring a borderline of emphasis for Timothy. And I want to believe God that we can keep us ourselves under this charge also. Can you keep us under this charge? We will keep ourselves in this house under this charge. That nothing else will be riches to us. Even when you have them. And you will have them. One thing I know for a long time is that everything I ought to do on earth, I will do them. But the one I don't do, I ought not to do it. Everything will be done. Not because I want to enjoy it. I want to fulfill God's grace and power through me. I believe that every one of us is made in such a manner to demonstrate God's wisdom on the earth here. But the wisdom is going to be that those who read you can read the gospel. They will know that you have not acquired things by your own strength, that grace has led you on earth here. They can find the pathway of your life and they can find salvation in there. See here that they do good and be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation. So can see that it's not the giving that is the foundation, but what faith trained them to do. This ready to distribute, willing to communicate, is faith training. Now, if you go ahead and do it on your own, it won't amount to anything. If faith has not trained you. So it's telling you what faith can do when it's training you. Can you see the language? Ready to. Even when they have not distributed, ready to. It means that the program of that life has been working there. It's like God sent Jesus at Jordan and said, this is my son. In whom, not what he has done, within whom. It means the program has been installed in him. So when he has not even done it, he's accounted to have done it. Because he has a program. Ready to distribute, willing. So it means that this man will has been reprogrammed. Willing to communicate. Laying it up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on eternal life. So you can see that foundation is not just, when I say Christ foundation, it's actually a whole program of being laid. Laying up in store for themselves. How do you lay up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come that they may lay hold on to life? Now, look at this place. Laying up in store. The man who is going to lay up in store for himself a good foundation has already had a good foundation. Let me say it again. It means they can attend to ready to distribute, willing to communicate if they don't have a foundation. It's that foundation that empowers them to be ready. So they have been made. Already made. Say amen. Because there's another foundation needed. I told us in the book of Isaiah 28, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Now, all of them are all foundation for a foundation. For a foundation. A tried stone. A stone. A tried stone. That's another foundation. A precious cornerstone. That's another foundation. Now, a sure foundation. Now, what God wants us to have is this sure foundation. That's the foundation that can carry the world to come. But you can't have this foundation if you don't use your, you can't have a sure foundation if you don't use your precious cornerstone. If you don't use charity life well. So charity must be utilized to lay up. Laying up. So it means that there's another foundation you're laying up. So a foundation is what empowers you to lay up. Because at the end of the day, it is the foundation of the living God that everything God will rest on. Say amen. What I say is, it is the foundation of the living God that everything called God will rest on. God can't rest on the foundation. He rests on the sure foundation. What I say? He rests on the sure foundation. But the foundation is meant to buy a sure foundation. So what we have learned in the past 2 months, we are going to use them vigorously. That's a simply exhortation I'm making this morning. We're going to use them vigorously. If you don't use them, you will lose them. Because when you don't have a sure foundation, when you don't have a sure foundation, you have no place in the world to come. Remember that the foundation was laid by Paul. I went in the house, please. But the sure foundation is laid by the apostles. What did I say? The sure foundation was laid by Paul, but the sure foundation was laid by the apostle. So, the foundation is the gospel of Paul. The sure foundation is the gospel of the apostles. That's why the foundation of the city, can I say the city, the foundation of the city is built upon the 12 apostles. It's not upon Paul. Revelation 21. Are you there with me? And the wall of the city at 12 foundation. What is this city? The holy city. Say amen. This is the city that came down from God. This is the city of eternal life. This is the city of the promise. This is the end place for every soul. Are you in the house, please? That's the city they are making you to conform to. That's the city that is your future. That's the city that is going to be the world to come. That will terminate the present world. So at the wall of the city are 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. So this is the foundation here is the living God. You can see. Are you with me, please? So there are two gospels there. The gospel of Paul, epistle of Paul. And the epistle which Paul wrote as, are you here? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received mercy, and we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifesting of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Don't mind about the grammar, we'll get it. But if our gospel be hid, this is the gospel meant to lay, that's meant to lay the foundation of the world to come, which is the living God foundation. Are you here with me, please? Which is the foundation, or which is the sure foundation? This is the gospel that was meant to lay the sure foundation. I told you there are two foundations that are essential. The foundation Christ and the foundation living God. Two foundations. The Christ is called precious stone. The sure foundation is called living God. Both Christ, the foundation, and living God are both foundations. The one is precious and that one is sure. From the word sure. When you hear the word sure, what does it mean? Reliable. Dependable, you know, eternity dependable. So Paul was charging Timothy, make sure they use this foundation so that they can get this foundation. You didn't get it. Say, hey man, use the precious foundation to get the sure foundation. Because the sure foundation is up. The sure is up. The precious is down. So the earthly of Christ is the precious. Then the heavenly is sure. Say amen. So you're not just going to heaven. You must have been founded. It's a building they are taking to heaven. Are we in the house, please? So the reason for living on the earth here is to ensure that you are erected along this line. I want the house to go there, please. So God can entrust Paul with the foundation, precious foundation. But he entrusted the apostles with the sure foundation. So let's go back and read what we're reading in 1 Timothy. Let's see, that's going to make meaning. Are you here today? Because some of these scriptures sometimes can be flying within two places. And you're wondering, what is he saying? 1 Peter, let's go back there. Amen. Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So that you trust, they should not trust in uncertain riches, they should trust in the living God. They should trust in the sure foundation. They should trust. They should know that that place is where they must arrive at. Where you can be part of the building of God. Are we in the house here, please? So charge them. They are in church. They have riches in faith. They also have riches in this world. These people are not people in church who are not serious. They are also serious. But charge them to know that there's a place they should trust. They should not trust in the present. I'm sure there are so many of them who use faith to get rich. Because there is a game of faith. If you practice Christianity by the terms, if you practice by its terms, the earth will respond to you. Because all the laws of righteousness of Christ have gain on the earth. You sow, you invest into people's life, you invest into your business, you build business, you will be rich. By righteousness. You are honest. You take care of people. You learn faith. You learn patience. And it is your building. Whatever you touch, we turn around. Because in learning all these things, you become wise. You'll be a wise man. Why? They want to discuss secrets with you. It's not easy to be righteous. I'm not saying to observe do and don't, to be righteous. To know righteousness. It's not. You need light. You need discussion. And there's no plate of mind that will discuss with that will not be wise. Because Christ has been made to us both wisdom, righteousness, sanctification and redemption. You are empowered to get things back. Yeah, you will get things back. You will get losses back. As you are getting souls back,
You also get to be a part of get things back. The engagement in the spirit. That's why I look at as if when you look at those who serve God, the beginning may look rough, but the latter end is beautiful. It's beautiful. I don't know if Mama built her own house by herself. Maybe it will be. When I got it last Friday, I thought this place is beautiful. It's beautiful. Lovely. And you see with presence. So, as it were, God does not owe any man anything. Whatever you have laid down, he will give you back to you. There's nobody who has given the Lord that has not recompensed back. Yours don't mind anything, nothing. So, now, what he gives you back is not even the gain. It's the life. It's the change of nature. It's the giving of template. So when you are thinking on scriptures, what are you doing? You are developing your mind. There's nothing to develop your mind more than thinking on scriptures. You can't even age easily by exercise of revelation. You can't age because your mind is always used. So, godliness is gain. This is a great gain. They say, speak in tongues. When you speak in tongues, you command life. They have found out that your tongue is connected to your life. The human tongue. And the level of vibration that comes by tongue. That energy, only tongue can give it. In today's world, they'll say, exercise your tongue. I said, I do more in speaking in tongues. They are trying to speak in tongues 30 minutes. That's it. Not all of that. So all you're talking about there's gain in godliness. And actually it's a great gain. Don't get old to know it. Know it now. Don't be a foolish person to get who to know it. So, what he gives you is to give you a foundation, because you will need it to lay up the heavenly dimension as its own foundation. Lay up. And that place that in God's place, how do you put it there? Lay up your treasure. Lay up your treasure in heaven. Whether not neither moth corrupt, that corrupt. So it means that the heavenly world dimension, moth can corrupt it. It has a higher quality than the earthly. So they say use the earthly to lay up. What is saying here, an unbeliever cannot lay up. So while you are a Christian, it's to find a foundation that can make you lay up. If you're an unbeliever, you can't lay up. So reason for faith, what is called Christ, come and say Christ, is to give you a place to invest above. That's why you have to, so that Christ is called charity. Charity, come and say charity. Charity, 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 charity. You have to learn charity to lay up treasures. Whether neither not, no. God. Also means that the earthly system cannot break it. It's impenetrable. Let the old system of the earth run wire. That man will be standing. It can't be broken. And that's exactly what I feel in my spirit. Like God said, I should remind you today.
Go back to the past 12, 2 months. That should be like 8 Wednesdays. And go and labor there to acquire foundation. So you can have access to Hopewood Foundation, to the Shaw Foundation. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. What do you mean of reprobate? Reprobate. It means unprofitable. Men who doesn't follow faith to fruit. You can also say good for nothing. Because when you don't follow to fruit, it's good for nothing. By fruit, every tree is known. So when you don't have foundation, then really you have not followed to the end of it. Then you call it good for nothing. As James and Jambres. You know what James and Jambres? Those who try to, you know, the names given to the magicians of Pharaoh. Who try to do what Moses do. So there are people who want to do what you try to do. They'll get into trouble. Because you have reason why you are doing it. There's a place you are standing. Yeah. Eh? There's a place you are standing. So when somebody else try to do what you do on a place that's, it will sink. It will sink. They will sink. I speak to us in this day we are here. Why? Because the days we are getting to is getting more dangerous.
Yes, sir.
That it doesn't matter what trouble layeth on the earth, you will stay standing.
Yeah.
Listen to me. The reason for the program of salvation is to make a difference between those who know God and those who don't know God. It is not really absence of trouble on the earth here. No. Actually, it is in trouble. It is when the flood of Noah came. We saw a difference between those who knew God and who doesn't know God. So, many times, trouble is a test of separation. So, it's not a time of doom. It's a time of salvation. So, whatever is going on now, I say you will be saved. Why? You are finding a good foundation. Like I always said, I said, all we should do, we do. All we should do for Nigeria, we have done it, and we're still doing it. So that whatever is judgment over whatever has gone wrong here, in those days, some will be exempted from it.
Yes.
Yes. And I know that we will be exempted.
Amen.
Because we have alarmed, we have prayed, we have done everything, well, we should have done it. Lest the evil of the day comes on men unaware. That's righteous man. So a righteous man is a man who responds to God's bid at all time. It's a man who responds to God's bid. It's a man who is a waiter on God's instruction at all time. It's a man that God can trust when there's nothing to trust on the face of the earth. Yeah. And that's what God is making out of you. So don't think when you are learning charity, you are just learning something. You are fitting yourself. You are putting on yourself, you are putting on your feet a place to stay. He has put my feet upon the rock to stay. That's when he can put a song in my mouth to sing. When you're not standing on a rock, you can't sing a song. No song in the mouth of a man who does not have a foundation. You must have put your feet upon the rock to stay. If I can put a song in your mouth to sing, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Are we going to labor on this?
Yes, sir.
Please, I beg you, go and do. Go and do. I believe that from June, we move some. I believe we're going to move up. Now we are on the servants of our God, right? Those who will serve on the end of time are going to be solid. Solid. They are prophets. Solid. Solid. And God will not exempt them from trouble. Only that God will be with them in trouble. So many are the affliction of the righteous. The Lord delivereth from them all. He keepeth his bones. None of them is broken. So in the midst of that system, he still look at bones to ensure that the bones are kept and that none of them will be broken. The Lord will keep you. We keep from being broken. Even in the time he will keep your bones, he will keep your body. It doesn't matter what you see online, it's not your portion. I said it's not your portion. It's not your portion. On the same road you will go to and fro, you will go back, you will come back and come back safely. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When they are saying it is cast it down, for it is going to be lifting up. No matter what is the language that they are sounding in your nation, around you, wherever you are on the face of the earth, your own story will be different. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? There's a job to do on the earth here. It's not a time to die. It's a time to live. What I say, it's not a time to die. It's a time to live. It's not to live to eat ever. It's to live to wave the banner of God's righteousness. For those who are left from the desolation, what will be done to them? Some men must have to rescue them. So we stay on the earth here as an arm of salvation. To people, to nations, to generation. A savior, arise upon the Mount Zion, and it is saviors. Please get your foundation intact and stand strong, unshakable. What's that? What's that? Can we have that English hymns of that song? We take the hymn. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teaching with Reverend Busuyi Olabode by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 Adeyemi College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.